Thank you, Jen. Good morning, everyone. Nice to be with you today. See your lovely smiling faces. We put on a show, don't we? And it's good to be together in fellowship with one another, but also fellowship with Almighty God. And so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight. Lord, we thank you that we can turn to you, a God who loves us with a never-ending love, a God who could not look on sin, but sent Jesus as a substitute to take on Himself the sin of the world. And He hung and suffered there. Thank you, Lord, that you have dealt with sin. We fall short, Lord. We know that we don't live up to the standards that you've always set. And we thank you that we can confess to you, forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we might stand in the knowledge that we live in the presence of God. That His life in us, that hope of glory, lives in us. And we thank you. So have your way, Lord, we pray. In our midst today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just some words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I sense today that sometimes it's not that we intend to forget, but I think when life comes in us like a flood, we kind of put aside situations, spiritual aspects of our lives, because of what's going on around us. But just to hear some words from Paul writing to the Ephesian church. And really what he's doing is encouraging folk just to look unto Jesus, to fix their eyes on Him. And in doing so, we are reminded in these words from Ephesians chapter 2, we're reminded of those that have made that profession of faith in Jesus, that their standing is so different to what it was. That we don't live according to the natural concerns of life. We live according to the Spirit. And these words are so powerful. I was just wondering, actually, if you've got a Bible there, if you've got a church Bible, we could read these verses together. Are you happy about that? You don't want to hear my voice all the time, do you? So, Ephesians chapter 2, and from verse 1, doesn't matter what version you're using, let's just, if you've got a page number, 1174, and we read together. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I think we'll just leave it there for a moment. And these verses have come to me this morning because, you know, no matter what we've achieved in our lives and what we're about to achieve, perhaps, if you're young enough, you've still got mountains to climb and roads to run. But for some of us here, maybe we've seen in many ways to have run a certain course, and we look back on it and we think, well, there's much more that we could have done, much more that we could have achieved. I could have lived my Christian life a lot better. I could have been more of an example to those around me. But, you know, whatever our identity was, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, our identity changes. We become His. The Bible says that you become a son of God. How dare we say that? But it's true. We become a son of God, or sons and daughters of God. And these verses here, that through what Christ has done, we are God's workmanship. In fact, we're new creations. We're new creatures in Christ. It's a language that probably we don't hear outside of the church, but it's true that we've been created by the Spirit of God to be like Jesus. Now, of course, I've got my family here today, and my wife is staring at me right in front, which is a bit unnerving. But, you know, we are to the world a representative or ambassador for Christ. So please don't say a word after my remarks about me. But. And it's not something we try to achieve. It's something that God does in us. He transforms us day by day to be more like Christ. And I think that's the beauty of what church is about. We're different people. The Bible says in the original, we're a peculiar people, set apart for service unto God. But peculiar in the sense that we love God and we love those around us very much. And we want them to share what we share in Christ Jesus, to do good works that have been prepared in advance for us to do. And I trust that you find this church a place where we are doing good things, good works, to benefit others. And I trust that others will see that and know us and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Some words from the letter of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, emphasizing the difference that Jesus makes to our lives. And sometimes when we read scripture and say, well, that can't apply to me because if people really knew what I'm like, I can't match that. But I want us just to take hold of these words this morning and really apply them to our lives. If we know and love Jesus, then this is for you because these words were written to believers. And they were people that were going through difficulties as we do, suffering with grief and sadness, but also recognizing that the Christian life, it doesn't take away pain, it doesn't take away heartache, doesn't necessarily take away the things that really press heavy upon us, but gives us the strength to go through them. And I know some folk here this morning, it's only God's strength that is taking you through a very difficult time. I just want you to take hold of these words to give you some encouragement. 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us, notice that, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Just hold on to those words for a moment. His divine power, His creative power, a power to transform lives, He's been given it to us in some measure, who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them ye may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. We know this world is evil. We know that in this world there are situations that have come against us. And some of us have longed to be in a different place at times. Lord Jesus, come and take us away so that we can be in glory. But we've received his divine nature, the spirit that now lives within the believer. It transforms the way we see the world around us. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. That's a word that's not used in society today, is it? Perseverance. I know some of you are really persevering through situations. Those situations haven't changed one iota, seemingly. But that need to persevere no matter what. Godliness. And to godless brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone has not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Just hold on to those words for a moment. Let's just reflect on them. His divine nature, is that possible? His spirit within us to teach us, to comfort us, to show us the way forward. As you put your life in context of these scriptures to see how perseverance is part of that divine nature, how Jesus persevered against those that spoke openly against him. To persevere knowing that we've been rejected, that words have been spoken over our lives that have caused us great hurt for many years. And to allow that divine nature to bring that inner healing and that restoration. And to hear the voice of the Lord himself saying, I love you. I've given my life for you. I've got a plan for you. You have a future. He just calls us to trust in him with all our heart, not to lean on our own understanding, in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct our steps. And may that divine nature occupy your mind and your heart this morning. Maybe you've wandered from God. Maybe God hasn't featured much in your life in the name of Jesus. Well, you've heard it, but it hasn't been edifying. We pray that he himself, the Spirit who searches all things, will search your heart and bring you to that place where you can say, yes, Jesus, be my Lord, be my God, be my all in all today and every day. Be still and know that I am God. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that reminds us who we are in Christ and challenges us to live our lives according to your good and perfect will. We pray today, Father, for those outside of your will who have decided in their own lives, in their own minds, they're going to live their lives the way they choose, and find that satisfaction is far removed from their thinking. We pray that they would find Jesus as Lord and find the satisfaction of the heart that draws them closer to that place of peace that passes all understanding. We pray that we might be examples for you, Jesus, when we meet with others, that we might radiate Christ. Have your way, Lord, we pray. Have your way in this area of Lidbrook, how we love this place, Lord. We love the people that live in this area, some we just don't know, but we pray that you would continue to use us to make contact and have fellowship and friendship and build relationships. Thank you that that's already beginning to happen, and we're so grateful. Lord, we thank you that this church has stood in this place for many, many years, and Lord, we thank you that we continue to ensure that this, your house, is used for your glory. Father, we pray for those in authority today over our land. We pray that they might recognize that there is a God in heaven who is supreme over all life, for all life depends on him. We pray for the leaders of our nations today, particularly Israel and Palestine and the areas surrounding. We pray, O God, we realize from your word that things will get worse before they get better, and you will come back to Jerusalem one day. Until then, we pray that there will be those that are praying and seeking your face and seeking the better result for one another, even this day. Lord, we thank you. We pray for those in our midst that are persevering through difficult times. Lord, may they know that you are with them every step of the way. They may not find the answers they're looking for in this life, but one day, because we look through a dark glass dimly, but one day we shall see face to face, and we shall put everything into line with your good and perfect will and glory. Pray for those that are not well and not with us. We continue to pray for Jeff and Helen. Our hearts go out to them, and we pray for them. We pray for Brenda and the family as they grieve at this time. May they be strengthened by your grace. And may the name of Jesus forever be praised. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's a lovely sign of a mobile phone. Remind me, Tony, to change my mobile phone to that. That's quite nice. We're going to read from John's Gospel, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5. And this is a healing and wholeness service. I'm not too sure how it's going to go, but then the Lord knows, so we'll see. It's normal practice that anybody that wants a touch from the Lord, I've got the oil, which in fact is all the way from Jerusalem, so there we are. To pray for you, whether you come forward or whatever way, we will do it as the Lord leads at the end. Just to explain that at the end, we're going to sing a song. Well, in fact, Joy. I volunteered her because she's willing. She's going to sing the chorus, and we're going to sing the. She's going to sing the main part. We're going to sing the chorus. It's a lovely song for the joys and for the sorrows. It's written by Graham Kendrick. We sang it when we were with that lovely time with Chris on Wednesday. I tried to sing it, and Graham Kendrick, well, he does his best. But Joy's going to do it, and we're going to use that right at the end just to really just allow you to think about having ministry. We pray that Joy does get through it. She did say that I might have to help her, so there we go. Anyway, so that's at the end. But we're going to read from John chapter 5. And this is It's one of those readings that we kind of read and think, well, I can't identify with it, because obviously this was years ago, and it's an Eastern setting, whereas we have a Western setting, we have a Western mindset. So I hope we can get something from this that will apply very much to your life and my life today. So John chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep's Gates, pool, which is Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, or sick people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. There was one there who had been unwell for 38 years. 38 years this man had been there. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for such a long time, he asked him one of the strangest questions you could ever think that Jesus would ask. He says, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I am trying to get in, someone else is going ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day in which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." How tradition can cloud the minds of people, eh? But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow? Who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something else might happen to you, or something worse may happen to you." That's a bit confusing. We'll get on to that. The man went away and told the Jews that this was Jesus who made him well. As I say, it's a little bit unusual. Western mind has to try and grapple with that, as it does with a lot of scripture. But the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and to give us revelation. Please be seated. It's lovely up here to hear your dulcet tones, you know, particularly when we're not too sure whether we should be going higher or lower. But okay. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." So there you go, whether you've got a voice or not. I think just being one of the thrills of having the family, or part of the family, with us this last 3 days is the ironing's done. The washing's done, the housework's done, I've done nothing. And what a great life it is, isn't it, when you've got willing folk. Now, of course, there's always a snag to it, because I might have to pay them. But probably not. But Sarah and Chris have introduced me to a Channel 4 documentary called SAS, Who Dares Wins. I don't know if you've seen it. It's very, very masculine, but there are ladies in it. And the scene is these SAS-trained officers have been given the task of training, ex-SAS, right, have been given the task of training celebrities that have joined up to do this particular course. Now, whether these celebrities wanted to have a few minutes back on the TV because maybe their popularity has waned over the years or not, but my goodness me, do tune in to just one of the episodes. It's on Channel 4, on one of the apps, if I know what I'm talking about. But these celebrities that you would recognize in public life that do very ordinary things are now in this gear, and they're doing all sorts of extreme activities. The one that really shook me was when they were taken up into a helicopter, and their hands had to be like this. They had to fall out backwards into freezing cold water and then swim to the shore. That was just one, but if you watch the program, it gets far worse than that. And it just made me, and Sarah and I were talking about this, why do people do these sort of things? Why do celebrities put themselves through it and expose themselves, their weaknesses? Some were showing great fear, but were determined that they were going to make it to the end. Maybe they did it because of there was a monetary return on it, maybe because of that. Maybe because they just wanted to prove something within themselves, that they could still do extreme activities. But then part of the program is a hood is put on their head and their number is called, and they are then interrogated by these ex-SAS officers, and they really go for the jugular, and they find out things about their past that they challenge them on. And you see these people that have done some amazing things, now in a sense for a moment very vulnerable, almost broken by some of the things that they have been challenged with. And the whole program really is to discover what really is going on inside your heart and inside your mind. The physical is one thing, but what about the psychological? And some people were put in such a vulnerable position. What are they running away from? What are they hiding from? What are they trying to conquer physically, what they can't control psychologically? What are they trying to do physically that they are hiding failures or spiritual uncertainties? You know, that's us in a way, isn't it? Not that we're going to go on that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? An SAS training course for the over 50s. That would be good. The Hebrew writer says that the sins and the weights that easily beset us, we're all carrying something in us that only we know about. Whether we do physical things, whether we're active all the time, are we hiding? Are we running away from something? Part of the wholeness and healing services are to deal with the inner self, what other people don't see, and what we don't want to recognize because it's too painful. So I hope that sets the scene for this morning as we consider and partake in healing and wholeness. It's an illustration, if you like, probably not a very good one, but I hope that you see the connection between that and Jesus raising this question to this man that had been ill for 38 years. He'd sat on this mat. Apparently it was like one of these camping sleeping bag things, and that's every day he would go into this place and he would sit on this mat and he would watch the other people that were unwell going in, being helped to go into the water where this angel would supposedly would come down and bring healing. Now a lot of it is all a little bit hairy fairy in my mind. It's all a little bit up there with the clouds, I'm not sure, and no concordance will actually say that it actually worked, but people will do anything to get peace and satisfaction and healing. The angel would come and stir up the water and they would get in and they were healed. Now, as I say, I don't get that, but it happened at that time. But this man who we're concentrating on this morning was watching all of this. And when he was there and Jesus particularly sought this man out, he could have gone to all the others, but he sought this man out. And he knew that he'd been there for a long time and his condition was impossible. I think the important thing is that when Jesus appears on the scene, something is going to happen. We've had healing and wholeness services here for many years. I met Val and Mark for the first time. For those that remember them, Val would do healing and wholeness services here before I came here. And it was interesting to talk to Val how special time it is to have a healing and wholeness service, because it means that we all can participate in some way as to thinking about our own lives and our own hearts, our own minds, and what really is going on inside all of us. And we've worshipped with songs that I've chosen today that speak very much of Jesus. Because when we speak more of Jesus, when we bring more life into pretty dark and difficult situations, we bring some sort of revelation. Now, none of us like to look within ourselves. None of us like to see for what we... And I don't think any of us would like to know exactly what we're really like outside our homes. That's why these been held to silence, these folk in front here. But Jesus is not only present, but he is perceptive. You know, the Bible tells us that he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. I mean, many people that are lost in their minds, that their minds are occupied on all sorts of things according to this world, but they're kind of lost. They have no real perspective on where life is leading them. And I was reminded when I thought about Jesus being there and perceiving what was going on inside this man, it reminded me of the time when we read in 1 Samuel when David was chosen to replace Saul. And Jesse, David's father, was there to, he was given the direction by the Lord to go and choose another to replace King Saul. And Jesse had assumed with seven of his young children, as it were, that one of them would be ideal as a replacement king for Israel at that time. And Jesse said, no, the Lord has rejected that one. And one after another, seven of these children were rejected. They were not suitable for the task. And so Samuel said, is there another? And he said, well, there's David in the field. He's looking after the sheep. You know, he's doing his thing. Well, perhaps you ought to bring him in. And as soon as Jesse saw her, Samuel saw him, said, this is the man. And we have this verse that I've said many times before, and it's worth repeating. The scripture says, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now that might be a bit scary for us this morning, but it's real, isn't it? We want to be real about things like this. I mean, church is about being real people in real situations, isn't it? God looks at the heart. He doesn't interrogate this man. He just wants this man to identify with Jesus. Because this man was so consumed with his life and his sickness, and whether he was going to get healing from this pool or not, he had become conditioned to his situation, and Jesus wanted him to look away from himself and look to him. I think this was a very profound thing that Jesus said. That question was to provoke this man to look to Jesus. When Jesus said, do you want to get well? And he says, sir, I have no one to help me. And there we have a whole catalogue of aspects of scripture that help us this morning in terms of healing and wholeness. Do you want to become well? Do you want to become well this morning? Are there things in your life? Are there things in my life that trouble us? Do we trust God enough to meet with us? To give us peace at last? That we can get sleep at night? So three things I leave with you. I know time's gone on, but three things I want to leave with you. First of all, Jesus calls the man to look away from himself to one who would really define him as a man, and that would be Jesus. This man was not a man. He'd lost all sense of manhood, and we know how difficult it is, particularly for men. That's why we have a breakfast, to encourage one another. If they lose that ability to do what God has caused us to do. This man had lost that for 38 years. His mind was completely blown. And I think this is why Jesus chose him. You know, Jesus was very selective. You know, some people say, well, why didn't Jesus go in to heal everybody? He didn't. Yet he could have gone round that pool of Bethesda and he could have healed all those people and everybody be praising God, but he didn't. He went to this one man. Because Jesus was showing this man and showing us that he has authority to do something that we can't do for ourselves. So this man had to learn to define his life based on what Jesus was going to do. That's the first thing. The second thing is, this man said, there's nobody can help me. Nobody can help me. I'm without help, I'm without hope. Nothing can change my situation. And there was no expectation either that this man could change. Just let's take the first one. This man looked away from himself, or had to. You see, when there is sickness, and we've experienced that here in the church and beyond, sickness can be all-consuming. It changes our outlook on life and how we see life, the life around us. And Jesus wanted this man just for a moment to think about him rather than himself. When this man said there's no other help, Jesus was speaking into his soul because he could see that this man needed salvation. Now, when we talk about healing and wholeness, we cannot ignore the fact that healing is salvation. Is the soul to be saved. That soul to be saved by God. That peace that passes all understanding becomes a reality. To know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It changes the outlook on life. And Jesus was as much and more concerned perhaps for his soul than he was for his physical frame. We see later on that this man was in the temple, no doubt praising God. And Jesus said, stop sinning or something worse happened to you. And there was no connection here between sin and sickness. But the fact was that if he didn't acknowledge what Jesus had done to his soul, and I would say a sick soul that leads us into eternity and whatever, is more important than physical healing. To know that one is saved and have a sure and certain hope of glory is far more important. But in this case, of course, Jesus healed him physically as well. You see, the Bible says that this life is temporary. We live in a tent. It's a temporary existence. This tabernacle, this body we have, is temporary. But we have a home, and it's in heaven, and it's not built by man. The Bible says it's built by God, that heavenly home. Have we got that assurance? I'm sure we have. Maybe you don't, but maybe not. Have you got that assurance of that eternal home? Is that all-consuming? Your soul being saved by the grace of God. We read it earlier, by grace we have been saved. It's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. There's only Jesus that can save us. There's only Jesus that can lead us into that perfect place. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him alone. And maybe today you need physical healing. And maybe part of that healing is dealing with what's going on inside here before the rest can be effected. You see, Jesus was perceptive. And the Bible says that Jesus knows those who are his. Peace with God, that's healing. Peace with ourselves at last, that's healing. Physical healing, well, that's healing too. Jesus looked into this man and saw that this man needed his soul to be cleansed and renewed and to be given a new perspective. Is that you this morning? It's very interesting. I read something in the week that researchers in Philadelphia in America have discovered that going to the doctors and getting a diagnosis makes people feel a lot better once you know what the problem is. Today's world, we can Google it. We can research it and we can say, my goodness, I think I've got that problem, I've got that. And then the doctor says, go away and have a few paracetamols, you'll be all right. Somehow we feel all right. Amazing what the authority of the voice of a doctor can do to make us feel better. But what about the authority of the voice of Jesus? What about his authority? And this is what's coming out here. And Jesus is with us, with his authority, by his Spirit. One of the celebrities that went through this horrendous course with the ex-SAS officers said, when he was challenged about issues in his life, he said, I'm just trying to find happiness. I'm just trying to find happiness. The one thing about being a Christian is that it's not what happens, it's what he's done for us that gives us the joy of the Lord is our strength. That inner joy, that inner peace, that knowing that all is well with my soul. You see, there is a search for answers that we're all asking. We're all needing healing of some sorts, the past experiences, maybe wasted times, failure, whatever it might be. And we don't need to carry them. We just bring them to the foot of the cross. Jesus is present with us. He simply says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart. That's the Jesus we've come to sing and worship this morning. That's the Jesus that's present with us today. Would you take up that offer and come to him and allow him to minister to you, whatever way you think is appropriate? And we're going to share that in a moment. Let's just pray for a moment. Joy's going to lead us in this song, hopefully. And do sing the chorus if you know it, or if you don't know it, we can learn it. Let's just pray together. Maybe Joy, if you can just start, just play that tune. Let's just pray. It's a tough one to stomach this because it's all about us and you and me, isn't it? And we all need Jesus. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We thank you that Jesus saw this man and had compassion on him. He transformed this man from the inside out. And we thank you for that. Lord, help us in our situation, in our identity, to come to you today. To find rest in you, to find healing at last. To find that Jesus is the place and the person to transform my life. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Touch every heart and life here. Thank you for them. For those, Lord, that just need that touch from heaven right now, I pray that you would be very evident to them. As they open their heart to you, open their mind to you. Lord, be with them. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who comes to deal with the heart. Thank you for today. Ask your blessing upon each one as we continue in fellowship together and friendship, and pray that you will continue to guide us in the days to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's share the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.